All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is August the 26th, 2022, Friday. Spectacular day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are. Hope you're not hungover. First thing to be grateful for, not hungover, right? Got up this morning, jumped on the bike, went for a nice ride. And, you know, I haven't shared this because it's sort of something I'm just trying to figure out, but I'm trying to get back into exercising. And the bike has been great, but unfortunately the weather will start to change and it will get cold, and I'm just not going to ride my bike in the freezing cold. So I'm trying to get back into doing a little running. I ran last, I guess it was last week. My youngest son was down, and we all went for a run, a little family run. It was me, my youngest Sam, and my oldest David, and my youngest daughter Teresa. She rode her bike, and we went for a little family run, right? And man, it was great. And you know, so I'm just I want to exercise. I want to have the motivation. I just don't know how really to get it back, so I'm slowly just trying to figure it out. You know, I used to run 4 or 5 miles when I was running. This time I'm just running a couple miles. I have shared that we did move, and so now I'm trying to figure out, you know, where to run, right? The whole moving process has been challenging because, you know, you have a whole list of reasons why you want to move, but you have a whole list of reasons why you don't. And unfortunately, or well, fortunately, the list of reasons why we wanted to move was just a bit bigger than the reasons why we didn't. And, you know, so you make the move and then, you know, you're stuck with changing everything, you know, grocery stores and how we get to work and all this different stuff. And you know, trying to figure out what my new environment is. And where I was at before was super friendly for running. I mean, literally out my door, down the street, on the trail, and then it was a free-for-all. And now, unfortunately, we live, you know, more in the country, right? Up in the country. And I'm just having to figure out how to, you know, run or ride my bike and not get run over, pretty much. But I did get up this morning, went for a nice ride. Very, very nice. And I have been running. I ran yesterday, did a couple miles yesterday, and I ran the day before a couple miles. So just dipping my toe back in the running pool, so to speak, and it was good. You know, I forget how amazing I feel. It's so funny. I forget how amazing I feel when I go for a nice run, and I forget how quick I turn on running. You know, like, it's just like everything else in my life. You know, if I'm sober, I am beating the sober drum, right? But if I get away from meetings and I start to drift away from that program, you know, I start to turn on it a little bit. You know, I start to sort of badmouth it a little bit, you know, positively, or, you know, not trying to be negative here, but, and then I'll follow with, you know, some devil chat. And it's the same thing with running. You know, I have just not been into it. So I've sort of been badmouthing it a little bit, talking shit about running, right? You know, and that's just to confirm that I don't want to. I'm not selling it to myself. It's very strange. I don't, I was talking this with somebody else the other day. I go, why is it that we just are so hard on ourselves? Like, why do we want to talk ourselves out of everything? You would think that, you know, we'd be like, come on, let's just, you know, take a second, you know, maybe walk a little bit. And that's sort of what I had to do. I'm like, listen, this is a small route. Listen, if you want to go walk the damn thing, go for it. And because in my mind, I'm telling myself, I'm just not going to be able to run anymore. I'm getting too old. That ain't true. I started running, like I think I shared about the week last week, me and Sam ran, and man, I felt good, right? I wasn't struggling. I wasn't running super fast, but I definitely felt fine. You know, the story I'd been telling myself in my head was a total fraud. And, you know, it's crazy. I don't understand it. It's the same thing with recovery for me, at least. It's always telling me to not do it, right? I guess, you know, like the first time I drank after 4 years, that voice is like, look how good you've done. You should try drinking. And I was like, okay. Boom, got me. And this other voice is like, you shouldn't run anymore. And it sort of got me this time. I'm like, I'm not running anymore. I'm going to reevaluate I'm going to have to ride my bike or swim or power walk, but running is out of the question. And it's just not the case. I ran, you know, that day, and then I ran yesterday, and I ran the day before. It felt good. It was hard. You know, I was tired. I was winded. Got side stitches, right? I got a cramp in my side. It was good. Walked a little bit. But the second day that I ran yesterday, felt a little better, felt a little stronger. So it's in there. You know, it's exercise is in there, recovery's in there. You know, it's just how bad you want it and what voices you are going to choose to listen to and choose to not listen to. And, you know, I'm listening to that quiet one that's back in the corner, like, come on, you can do this, man. I'm like, shh, everyone, what's that? What's that over there in the corner? You got this, man. You can do it. All right, let's try. So it's been really good. And I feel great today. My clothes seem to fit a little bit better. You know, one of the things that I'm sort of trying to figure out is, you know, I feel like a big portion of my life I've been under the influence of something, right? You know, obviously, you know, early on, it was, you know, pot and alcohol. And then finally getting sober. And then, well, it was pot and alcohol and cigarettes, right? And then meth and different drugs. And then finally, you know, kind of getting sober and slowly starting to finally, you know, figure out what I want to do. And then getting into exercise, right? And sort of being under the influence of that. And then struggling with diet. And then battling with eating and not eating and sort of been under the influence of that. And when I say under the influence of it, I mean like my body has. You know, I was trying to explain to somebody the other day that one of the challenges for me when I'm like even in the days I run, you know, if I'm running, it's because I'm concerned with weight or I'm just trying to, you know, stay healthy. So unfortunately, I'll say, all right, I'll run and then I'll skip eating because I'm trying to lose weight, right? And it just doesn't work like that. And I'm under the influence of that. I'm under the influence of that weird thinking. And when it doesn't work, then I'm disappointed and then I'm confused. And, you know, my body doesn't really know what seems to be going on. You know, if take me out of this place and drop me in the middle of nowhere where nobody's around. You know, the body doesn't know that. The body just knows that you are a vehicle and it needs fuel. And if you're not going to provide the correct fuel, it's going to store it. And it stores it in fat, right? And so, but I start running and I think, well, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to run like hell and then I'm not going to eat. And so I should lose weight. I should get pretty ripped. No, my body goes, okay, it doesn't realize what's going on with me. It just sees that I'm putting out a lot of effort and I'm not taking in a lot of fuel. And it starts storing those gas cans. And so I've been under the influence of that, right? And my weight's been fluctuating. You know, I was just looking at a picture my wife posted from us, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And I look so skinny. It's gross. But I remember those days and I thought, man, you are feeling right. And I was not. I was under the influence of it. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I stop running as much and I start to find happiness. And all of a sudden this weight just comes flooding back. I think I was, at that time, I was probably 150. Right? I'm probably good at about 165, 170, but I was down to 150. And of course that weight's going to come back. It comes rushing back. I don't understand what's going on. I feel like I'm running to prevent this. I am confused in what I'm doing. And I'm under the influence of it. You know, I put these goals on myself. I find examples in the world and they're usually like these real chiseled people like that are all fit and ripped. And I'm like, oh, well, that's what I want to be like. For what? I don't know. But, you know, that seems to be the example that I use of a person that I want to be like. I never can get that way, though. I'm just not that guy. I was never the guy that wore the half shirt, right? I've always just never been happy with my body and continuously trying to chase after it. And trying to figure it out, it's like being under the influence, right? And it's just very tough. And I've been lost. And so the last, I don't know, basically this summer, I'm really not running. I was doing a little bit of push-ups, you know, because you don't want to get man teats, right? You want to try to keep your chest sort of in shape. But I'm like, you know, I'll just do some push-ups and ride my bike and take it easy. And I've been doing that. And I feel like I'm starting to get into a position of where I am kind of at a weight that I am naturally. I'm not on any diets. I try to eat. My biggest problem is I don't eat enough. And eating enough means like, I don't know, a couple thousand calories a day. See, I'm fucking twisted in my head. I think less food, let's get skinny. And it's just not the way it works. It's just, the body's like, if you're not going to give us any food, when you do eat, we're going to store that shit everywhere because you are not getting enough fuel and we're going to have to compensate. And so I'm always in this state of confusion with my health. And this summer, I just feel like I finally just kind of been like, all right, I'm not going to really do much of anything. I'll ride my bike. I feel like that gets my heart going a little bit, but I'm definitely not sweating, right? I'm not coming back soaked. I'm coming back casually, maybe a bit dewy, right? But I'm not, it's not like I go for a run. And, doing push-ups. And I've just been, just eating whatever I want to eat, whatever that might be. I don't eat a lot. So I'm trying to actually eat more food. And my weight is, I'm probably about 178, which is a little heavy for me. But maybe, I was just telling someone yesterday, I go, this is the weight I seem to end up at, right around 170, 175. I don't know what, I think it was 178. I think I got that doctor's office or somewhere, but I don't know what, we checked our weight at my parents' house when we were over there when we didn't have any hot water, and they had a scale, and I'm like, fucking 178, that's why I don't have a scale, because I don't feel 178. I actually feel really good, but the point is, it's like this is the first time I really feel like I'm just not under this influence of self where I'm constantly wanting to be better. I'm constantly thinking of myself all the time. I'm constantly concerned about my weight, how I look. It's weird, whether maybe it's my age, but I'm just really content. And so now it's nice that, like yesterday in the last couple of days, I went for a run. I'm still just sort of kind of eating normally. I'm not packing on all sorts of calories or cutting out all sorts of calories. I'm just trying to just live a normal life and then add a little bit of exercise. I think that's also my problem. Every time if I'm going to start running, I start running every day, 5 days a week, 5 miles a day. I go ballistic. And I just have to be careful not to do that. It's, I don't know, I feel good. I guess the whole point of that is I feel pretty fucking good, and I'm just so grateful that I'm sober today, and just really blessed. So, yeah. So the other thing that's going on today is it's my oldest son's birthday. He turned 17, and wow, happy birthday, David. Talk about surrender, right? Talk about surrender. I mean, I've said before, if you want to try to live with one foot in our past life, as in like in before we got sober, and one life in our sober life, it just doesn't work, right? It's just a miserable existence. And it's sort of the same way when you have kids, right? If you want to try to keep one foot in that life prior to having a kid, going out, doing stuff that's more centered around self, than living the life of, basically, I'm taking care of my child. My child comes first. If you want to live in the life of you come first, or you want to live in the life of your child comes first, until you figure that out, that's a bumpy path. And, my first son, born 17 years ago, I didn't really know what to expect. I was a little older. We've had our kids at an older age. He's 17, I'm 53, which I've always thought was awesome, because that way I can at least, I get the synergy from my kids. There's days where I'm just dragging and they're like, Daddy, can you make me lunch? Daddy, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Cause they don't skip a beat. Right. And, but he was one of my first examples of surrendering, right. And giving up, that life that I used to have for the life that I didn't realize that I could have. And I didn't realize that I even wanted it.
Well, she had a little shot of Jack. Besides that, can't complain. Just trying to do the dang thing. Might change the oil in my truck. I ain't paying no 35 bucks. Kids need shoes, mama needs Levi's. And I'm just trying to keep my daughters off the pole. And my son's out of jail. Trying to get to church so I don't go to hell. I'm just trying to keep my wife from figuring out that I married up. And she married way, way down in Alabama where they love Nick Saban. Trying to write a song the local country station will play. Hey, I'm just trying to stay out of AA. Well, I gave up skull and cigarettes. Now I'm just hooked on Nicorette. Trying not to be like my old man, but the older I get, the more I am. Trying to get paid and a little love made, y'all. Hey, y'all, at the end of the day, y'all, I'm just another John Deere guy. Up on a track, trying to steer my daughters off the pole. And my son's out of jail. Trying to get to church so I don't go.
That's so funny. We've heard that song's been popping up in our playlist the last couple of weeks. My wife loves that song. She thinks it's hilarious. So yeah, there's some truth to it, right? But you know, the I guess the point was is that, you know, recovery is a lot like parenting. And, you know, it really exposes the self-centered side of me when it comes to either one, right? You know, because I'd rather, you know, when I remember when I first became a father, I was like, whoa, right? All of a sudden, just like, it's like night and day. And, you know, at first it's an inconvenience, right? You just are like, oh my God, you know, what are they? The number one thing I think people complain about having children is that they don't get to sleep as much, right? Because the kids need to be taken care of on a schedule. And you can't, you know, party and do all that shit and still expect to be able to do all the responsibilities that you're now left with a smile. And I think that happened, you know, I personally know people that, you know, unfortunately sometimes children can expose, you know, our struggles with alcohol and drugs. I know people that, you know, meet, right? They go down to Dewey Beach and they have the summer of their lifetime and, you know, they write hearts in the sand and all that shit and fall in love and party all summer and then start to date. And then eventually, so, you know, the wife gets pregnant and, you know, the first thing you have to quit when you get pregnant is alcohol, right? Or smoking. I don't know. They suggest it. I know that some people choose to go ahead and do that. But you know, you have to quit that alcohol, and it's easy for, you know, the mother when she is, I shouldn't say that. I think most moms that get pregnant that drink prior are like, of course, you know, no alcohol. I think that's a given. But unfortunately, the husband, you know, he's still like living the summer of his dreams, right? And, you know, when you can't drink, all you do is focus on how much the other person drinks, and it starts to, you know, be a challenge. I think many couples, while the wife is pregnant or the mom or whatever, I don't know what the pronouns are anymore. Mom is the one I'm going to use. You know, it's easy, you know, but all they do is focus on how much you drink. And I can imagine it would be very serious. Luckily that I didn't go through that. I was sober when my kids were born or growing inside the womb. But you know, it's a tough one. But the point is that this is about surrendering, right? And, you know, I eventually had to surrender my old life and take on my new one and really say goodbye to my old life because I wasn't coming back. And not only was I saying goodbye to my life of drinking, but, you know, I was also saying goodbye to my life of self-thinking. I had to start putting David and my wife first. And that's very tough. And it's very tough to even recognize that that's what's going on. And, you know, I went to a meeting the other day. I'm not going to say where, but it was at a meeting. And people were talking about the steps. And a person shared and they said that they, how much they felt like the steps were kind of like bullshit. And, you know, he's like, you know, I'm sober and I'm grateful to be sober, but I just don't like the steps. I don't, you know, I don't believe in them. And he said the third step, I guess, turn your will and life over the care of a higher power as we understand him. I think that was what he said. That's basically the only step. What is it? Step three, I think he said. Yeah. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That was it. And this person is not surrendered, right? I think, and I guess, you know, whatever, right? Whatever. Do it however you want to do it. I guess the whole point is don't drink, right? Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and beat your family. Don't drink and do drugs. Don't drink and steal. Whatever it is that we used to do, that's what we need to stop doing. But the problem is that you can't, for most people, and maybe not this guy, but, you know, you come into something and you're like, yes, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do this. And then you get beat down some more. And then you're like, okay, I'm back. All right, I'm going to do this, but I'm still not going to do this one part. And then you get beat down some more. And then you come back and you're like, fuck it. I'm going to do all of this except for this one thing. But I should be able to do enough of this that it should still work. And in the end, you end up going back out and you finally come back in and you say, I give up, right? I surrender. And I have got to give everything up and basically relearn my life, so to speak. And it is very tough. It's very tough when that starts to happen. And that's sort of what this guy, you know, this... You know, I don't want to out anybody, but this, you know, I know this person, and I, you know, the person's okay, but, you know, they have a way about them, right? They can kind of graze you, hit you, right? You know, cut you a little bit. They know what they do, and which is fine, right? I don't care. Do you, but what bothered me was that it's sort of a shitty message, right? Because even at in the 12th step, it says, having had a spiritual awakening from these steps, your job now is to try to spread the message. Be there for the next alcoholic. But you can't say in a meeting that those steps are bullshit, right? You know who said that? The devil. You know, I had a lady in my salon the other day, and she's like, you know, I've been listening to your podcast. I was like, oh, God, here we go. And we started talking, and I said, you know, I'm starting to believe that we're just sort of born like as a devil's children. And I probably said this before. We're very, you know, and I listen, the devil and God to me are just representing good and bad, dark and light, good and evil, and self and humility. God, humility, self, the devil. That's just how I look at it. And, you know, but I feel like more and more we're more, you know, and they say, oh, we're the children of God. And I think we're the children of the devil. You know, we come out screaming, it's all about us. You know, I have young kids. If you have kids and, you know, you look at young kids, they're self-centered bastards, right? But you watch them and it's like my 17-year-old. He was self-centered. It's just how they're raised. I mean, not raised, that's how they're born. You know, they have to survive. Me, me, me. But you slowly see them start to mature. And, you know, at 17, he's a little selfish, but he also cares. You know, he's got a nice blend of the two. Hopefully, as he gets older, he starts to have more humility and less self. I don't know the process for everybody. I know that sort of is what's happened to me. But, you know, it's a process. And the first thing and I talked about this the other day, you come into these programs and you're like, yeah, I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. Who's saying that? The devil? I mean, is this really like, could this be like the devil's in us and the devil's fighting? Because I think if a person follows these 12 steps, these 12 steps are an exorcism to get self out of there, or at least shine some light on self, right? And self's like, I do not want this, you know? So we're going to tell you right now, and it's funny, you know, they come in, they say, listen, I'm going to do this, but I am not doing this. Or these steps are bullshit, I'll do this one, but it's bullshit. It's like you completely forgotten the message, which is that having had the spiritual awakening, now you should be here for the next person. Our job is to try to help the next person, not come in, decide what we're going to take, make a stance, raise our flag, and then just be sort of a distraction, right? I'm not saying leave, but I'm just saying why? Listen, if you're going to, yeah, I like AA, but I don't like any of the steps, then don't say that. You're not helping. And I'm not sure who's motivating you to even say that, but you're not helping anybody with your position. It's pretty fucked up. It's pretty self-centered. And it's frustrating. And, you know, I was like, you know, and I, you know, I wanted to be like, you know, that's a bunch of bullshit. You shouldn't say that. But I didn't. You know, what I shared was is how much I love these steps. I love the fact that these 12 steps allow me to expose the fucking person that I am, right? I love the fact that these steps allow me to expose the person that I am and then give me the opportunity to change it. Right? I guess if I want. I don't have to. And I could tell you, I haven't changed everything. I'm not perfect. Fuck no. I'm far from fucking perfect. But goddamn it, I know what the hell's going on. I can smell it. And that's tough too, right? You know, sometimes I get caught up in all these, the analyzing and the, you know, trying to figure out what this is about and the motivation and how to fix it. And it's exhausting, man. You know, it's exhausting. But, you know, I do, my life today is 1,000 times better than my life was that day that I finally got sober in 97. March 31st, 1997. Fucked up person. I did not stay sober from that day, but that would be the beginning of the journey to getting to the point where I'm at today. Right. My journey did not go stop drinking and then let's just get a bunch of sobriety. It didn't go like that. I had to, you know, there was like, excuse me, there was a few versions. You know, I came in possessed by the devil. And the devil was like, actually, I sort of came in pretty humbled because I got the devil knocked the fuck out of me. You know, I got punched in the face, devil went running, and humility was left. And, you know, that ego devastation, ego meaning the devil, devil devastation, devil left. What was left? Humility. God was left. God sat there with me that night on the concrete. God talked to me, not the devil. The devil fucking chicken shit motherfucker came running out of there. And God sat down and said, listen, man, maybe you want to think about getting some help. And God and I had talked many times, you know, but not like this. And, you know, in so many words, he was like, listen, I'll be here. And I tried to get sober, right? But over time, and God's pretty, in my life, God's pretty chill, right? God's not pushing open doors. God's like, hey, you need me, I'm here. I'm not pushing myself on you. But the devil, that self-centered side, comes fucking busting in. All right, I'm back, right? The humility got pushed out and the devil came back. That self-centered side of me and hung out until eventually I drank again. And then finally, you know, and I've shared many times about it, I finally had enough, right? And, you know, but got sober, but still keeping one foot in one world and another foot in another. And it wouldn't finally be until I gave up and surrendered. And, you know, just... Thank God. Thank God I surrendered. Let's see. What can we read? Oh, I know what we can read. Let's see if I can find it. Here we go. Daily Reflections. Oh, today. Here we go. All right. August the 26th. Happy birthday, big boy Davey. Giving it away. Though they knew they must help other alcoholics if they would remain sober, that motive became secondary. It was transcended by the happiness they found in giving themselves for others. What? All right. Though they knew they must help other alcoholics if they would remain sober, that motive became secondary. It was transcended by the happiness they found in giving themselves for others. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 159. Those words, for me, refer a transference of power through which God, as I understand him, enters my life. Right? Through prayer and meditation, I open channels, then establish and improve my conscious contact with God. Through action, I then receive the power I need to maintain my sobriety each day. By maintaining my spiritual condition, by giving away what has been so freely given to me, I am granted a daily reprieve. That's right. That is right. And that is that, you know, there is a magical, you want to see magic? Look at people trying to get sober and other people helping other people get sober. It's magical. And it is funny because when you go to help somebody rightly, that's humility, right? If you go to help somebody and then tell somebody about it, that's self-centered. That's self-serving. That is painting a picture for somebody else to think you're awesome. And you just have to, you know, I've helped people and tell them. I don't care. Help people and so serve self. But, you know, that's still living a life of good, right? Now, help somebody and don't tell somebody. I think that's living a more life of a God, living a more God life. But listen, if you want to start helping people and you want to tell people how awesome you are, do it. It's better than not helping at all and being an asshole, right? You know, it takes little steps. I shared that when I first got sober, you know, I was the guy that would leave the cart between the cars. And when I got sober, I decided I was so guilty. I had so much guilt from this behavior that I decided that I would now take the cart all the way up to the storefront. And the fact is that as much as I thought I was doing the right thing, I was also trying to see if people were noticing. So I wasn't really doing it rightly. I was serving self. I was trying to do something special to shine a light on myself. And listen, it's better than what I was doing, which was leaving the cart. But eventually I started to go, what are you doing here? Right? Why are you trying to be so awesome? And when I'm trying to be so awesome, it's usually I'm trying to shine a little light on myself. So, you know, rightly. But listen, it's all good stuff, right? Just don't drink and do drugs. I hope everyone's having a great day, and I hope you have a great weekend. I think I'm going to hit the meeting tonight, and I look forward to it. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye. Bye.